This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Bill Fox, senior consultant with a company called Aegis.net. That's AEGIS.net. And today we're going to talk about process improvement, business management, project management, all kinds of these big, huge topics that everyone's heard and bandied about in all kinds of management meetings. But before we delve into this topic, maybe you can tell the audience a little bit about your background, Bill, and how you wound up being an expert in process management.
Yes, thank you, John. Thank you for having me here today. Glad to be here. And my background really, as an overview, is I've been working around transformation and process improvement projects for the last 20, 25 years. And I've noticed a repeating pattern that started to bother me, and that was that most of them fail. You know, a few do really well, but companies seem to do them one after another and not much changes. And as a result of that, I got a little frustrated several years ago when I was working on a project. We were making good results, and the company was really starting to change and improve. A new executive manager comes in and didn't like what we were doing, and it all comes to an end. And I was so frustrated out of that, I decided to create something to help change that and drive a conversation around it. And it's
It's like you're an auto mechanic and you work on cars for years and you see someone putting a transmission in wrong and you decide, well, I'll come up with a website to maybe talk about best practices for this. And so separate from Aegis.net, you create a website too. Is that, what's that website?
Right. The website is 5 Minutes PI Success. That's the number 5, and it stands for 5 Minutes to Process Improvement Success. But the idea I came up with was to go around and interview top practitioners from around the world and ask them what their best strategy or tactic was.
So you get a bunch of NFL quarterbacks in a room and you go, okay there, Joe Montana, what's worked for you? But different hat, go up to someone who has worked in project management and say, what's helped you succeed?
Exactly. And it gives these people who are doing good work, who are well-known in industry, to step back a few minutes and reflect on what they're doing and tell us what they're really doing that's working well.
I was having lunch last week with a guy named Evan Scott, and he turned to me and he said, you know, John, there's no jobs out there anymore. There's just projects. And projects come to end, and there's new projects that start. And I think for many of my listeners, that comment will resonate with them, because many of my listeners are federal IT professionals. Maybe they're trying to make a change to the cloud. Maybe they're trying to figure out managing mobile devices, or maybe even understanding some of these terms that consultants use, like CMMI and ISO 9000. And I think that's what this is all about, is that everyone has a process, and you know, how can you take and improve the process? And you know, I Googled ISO 9000 this morning. I went to Wikipedia, and they had a fish shop in Japan that was ISO 9000 certified. So, I mean, that's what is ISO 9000? This would be a type of question you might ask or might come up in some of these discussions on your website. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, I cover a lot of the different process areas from CMMI, ISO 9000, Agile, Lean. All these top practitioners talk about all these areas.
So what you do is you present a very simple, basic question, and then you shut up.
That's the best thing to do. And the interesting thing that has happened is that it causes these top people to reflect on what they're doing. And I think people will find what they're saying is a bit surprising and maybe not what they expect them to say.
Now, I guess if I had Joe Montana in the studio here and I asked him, well, how do you find that open receiver? And he'd said, well, I've never thought. I just did it.
Okay? That's exactly
it. So what you do is you take a look and you say, okay, so you've been involved in successful projects. Give me 3 ideas of what's made them successful.
Right. I ask for the best strategy. I'll ask them a few follow-up questions on their response. And then what I like to do, most of the people that I interview are well-published, have a book or two out there. And so I'll read their books in advance and come up with some questions that I want to ask them.
So at this website called the numeral 5, 5-minute, PISuccess.com, are these audio interviews, these written interviews, blogs, or what are they?
Well, what happens, I audio interview them, but I have the interviews transcribed, and then we put them into a 5-minute format and publish them on the web.
And so it's kind of like a blog then?
Exactly.
Okay. So what I can do is if I'm involved in a project and I show up at 9 o'clock in the morning and beat my head against the wall, I'm all frustrated, perhaps I can get some insight from you and maybe Brad Power, someone you've interviewed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's some really good strategies that they're coming up with.
So how many have you interviewed and what kind of success have you had?
I've done 32 interviews so far, and I try and do at least one a month ongoing. It's drawn a pretty big audience. So there are about 3,000 visitors a month that come and look at the interviews.
Wow, that many.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's not much advertising, just word of mouth, I guess.
Right. You know, I do LinkedIn and Twitter, that sort of thing, but the word gets around.
And so you work as a senior consultant for Aegis.net, and I imagine these kind of crossover. I mean, a lot of the things that you're recommending for project management success, process management success, you're implementing at Aegis. Hmm?
Exactly. You know, the interesting how I got connected with Aegis was one of the people I interviewed was Mario Hyland, who's a senior VP at Aegis, because they have a strong commitment to process at Aegis. And we found we had a lot of commonality around process, and he liked what I was doing, saw how it would support internally what they're doing. And so I applied what I'm learning at Aegis and also with our clients.
It kind of reinforces best practices, huh?
Exactly.
And so Aegis can say, well, if you want a quick review of this, what you might want to do is go to the 5-minutepisuccess.com and review the interview with this guy, Brad Power, and see how he blew through that project, huh?
Right.
Great. So what area does Aegis.net usually work in the federal government?
They're in the health IT space a lot, also IV&V and process improvement.
I think you do a lot of interoperability. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And what I found is that, I guess, like if you're raised in Europe, you're forced to learn 3 or 4 different languages because you can't survive without it. You have to interoperate because the countries are so close. In the federal government, especially the federal health IT place, there's so many different technologies there. You have to be able to interoperate as well, huh?
That's very true.
And if there's a process involved, well, that kind of is like, well, what process would you use to help interoperate in this specific situation of multiple devices? Great. Who have you interviewed, and who's the most famous person you've interviewed, you think, in the first 32?
Oh, gosh. There have been a lot of top people. Alan Shalloway, Hill Glazer. These are all top-name people.
There's a book on Amazon by a guy named Jonathan Weinstein. It's called Achieving Project Management Success in the Federal Government. Have you heard of that book?
I have not heard of it.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a book for everything conceivable. I mean, everyone's written a book. And I guess when I think of process management, I initially connect it to project management. Complete different topics, or is one controlled by the other?
Yeah, we're talking sort of different topics here, John. I mean, you have the project management. It could be any sort of project. It could be a software development, a transformation, or it could be a process improvement type project. And typically what I'm dealing with is around the process improvement, applying these methodologies to improve how projects are managed.
And these are generally software projects, huh?
Generally, yes.
And so that's I guess, what precipitated this whole idea of starting this website was you presented something at the Software Engineering Process Group, the SEPG, a few years back?
Yes. After this project came to an end, when I decided I wanted to do something about it, I submitted an abstract for the next conference that was available. And I guess fortunately it happened to be in Porto, Portugal. It got accepted, so I got to go over there and give a little bit of a case history of, you know, how this project was implemented and became successful. And after that, I decided I wanted to write a white paper. I came up with 100 ideas. Out of those 100 ideas came up the idea for 5 minutes to process improvement success. I started talking to some people about it. They liked the idea, and it took off from there.
I like the idea of 5 minutes because I have heard people normally in public speaking environments just ramble on and on and on and on and on. And it's like it takes them 20 minutes to say hello. I mean, can't you? I mean, 5 minutes focuses your interview subject on exactly distilling his message or her message.
Exactly. People are busy. They don't have time to digest a lot of information. That's why I wanted to make it quick and concise and get right to the point.
I was talking to a friend of mine who has a company in Maryland, and he said, I'm going to do a one-hour video for my website to tell visitors about the company. I said, no. I said, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah, no one's going to, the whole, maybe your wife. No, your wife won't either. I mean, it's not going to happen. How about a minute? If you can do a minute, and 5 minutes is kind of pushing. If you can do a minute that someone's going to want to listen to or watch, that's really hard.
It is.
So you were at a software development conference. You kind of thought this idea up. You started putting together people. What has been the reaction with people who read the blog and comment on it? What kind of interaction do you have with your readers?
It's really been amazing and surprising, John. I get emails every day from people who find it, and they tell me how helpful the information is. It just keeps growing and growing.
Concise, practical, down-to-earth for improving process. That's great. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about methodologies and some of these trending terms like CMMI and Lean and maybe Six Sigma and see how it fits into the whole idea of program management and process management. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Bill Fox, Senior Consultant for Aegis.net. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Bill Fox. He's a senior consultant for a company called Aegis.net. Kind of funny spelling on that, AEGIS.net. They work with many federal IT professionals to help them improve the way they manage systems and projects. And what Bill's found out is that he has seen a lot of people do the wrong thing. He came up with his own website to try to show many people, not only just federal project managers, how best practices can actually be implemented, maybe boots on the ground for best practices. He has a website called 5minutepisuccess.com, and the PI stands for process improvement.
Exactly. Okay. 5minutepisuccess.
5minutepisuccess.com. And you go there and read the interviews, and I've done 32 interviews so far. And what the method is you ask one open-ended question, and then you put tape on your mouth.
Exactly. And we get some good results from that question, John.
Yeah, it is. And especially if someone who really is been doing this for 15 or 20 years and ask, well, what made this successful, what did make it successful, and just let them move from there.
Yeah, the interesting thing that has happened, many of these people tell me it's the best interview they've ever given. And I think it's because of that simple question, because it's them to reflect on all the things they're doing and, you know, what has really worked best and narrow it down to one thing. And what comes up is it surprises them, surprises other people as well.
And your follow-up questions normally are... And by the way, when you read this, there may be just three or four questions from Bill. I mean, this isn't Bill yapping away like I do. The next question might be, what's the biggest misunderstanding? Well, that's an open-ended question.
Yeah. And what I try and do is relate what they're saying to my experience in the real world. You know, what has been difficult? What are the challenges? So I try and pull that out of them. And also, since many of them are published authors, I go through their books and I look for, you know, what are the things that will really resonate with me and other people, and try and pull those out.
You know, the PMI has a local chapter here. There are thousands and thousands of project managers in the federal government. And I think all of them are presented with challenges every day, and they're constantly looking for ways, maybe articles at PMI, maybe listen to broadcasts like this, or blogs or tweets, or trying to figure out an angle in order to be successful. And you've published an article here in the Cutter IT Journal that talks about Agile and CMMI and Lean and says, well, you know, let's look at this more carefully. And it's not just one or the other. It could be some combination of the two or three. Is that right?
Right. There's been a conversation going on in the industry. Do Agile and CMMI mix together? On one hand, people think CMMI is heavy and a lot of process, and others think that Agile is very lean and doesn't require a lot of process and documentation, that sort of things. And what people are finding is you can mix the two together and come up with something better. And there was a call for papers by Cutter last summer, and they wanted to talk about why is this conversation still going on. There's been a lot of published papers saying how they do work well together and they make each better. But at the same time, a lot of things were occurring to me from all the interviews at 5 minutes to process improvement success. And my thesis was, well, we can talk about this and we can make improvements on the margin by talking about it, but we really need to talk about a much bigger conversation, because we've been focusing on methodologies for 20 plus years and we're getting the same results over and over again. And that's no results for most people. You know, some people are, but not everyone. And so I really wanted to address that issue that was kind of coming up with me and use this as a platform to talk about that.
I'll come up with another silly sports metaphor or analogy here. We talked about football players, and I can follow a football team like the Redskins. I can also read Runner's World. I mean, that just because I follow a football team doesn't mean I'm not allowed to run or I'm not allowed to swim or play volleyball or golf. And so I think the same, just because you understand agile methodology doesn't mean you should throw out everything with CMMI and say, oh, no, that's too structured. I think there's ways to incorporate best practices into one kind of a mix that works for your project.
Right. And the thesis I came out with was really, you know, we can focus on methodologies, but the focus on methodologies isn't working out well for most people. We really need to look at some other areas and start talking more about those because the methodologies isn't working well for us.
So what you've seen in your experience is that people make three or four basic mistakes in managing projects. And one is a blind acceptance of best practices.
Right. I mean, these methodologies are generally all about best practices. And one thing we know about best practices is that they worked well somewhere else. They're very context sensitive. And if you haven't had experience introducing best practices into multiple environments and having experience with how they work and don't work, you don't have that perspective to realize that.
Yeah, that's interesting. In the media, we'll look at someone who's very, very successful on the radio. That skill set may not apply directly to television. Sometimes
right.
It sometimes doesn't. The context is different. So if I can write a book on how to do good radio, does that mean the TV people are going to read that and help improve them? May not be the case. But it may work perfectly well for some radio station in Philadelphia.
That's exactly right.
Another point you brought up in your article was that that a methodology provides a complete solution, and that's the end-all, be-all, and Agile and Scrum, and I don't have to look at anything else.
Right. I mean, that's the way it's sort of presented. People think it's going to be a complete solution, but it may not even be solving the real problem that needs to be solved that's at hand. And if you're not aware, these methodologies are complex. If you haven't worked with them, you don't have an experience with it, and you know, different environments, you're not going to realize that.
Especially with something as simple as a weekly Scrum or a daily Scrum meeting. I mean, I can look at a piano and play a little bit, but then there's a professional piano player who can do it. In order to actually have a good daily Scrum where developers get together and they ask the right questions and move on and change the way they're developing a project, boy, that's a very, very specific skill set to have. Not everyone can pull that off.
That's right.
And I think there may be listeners who are involved with managing projects and the government's encouraging agile software development and say, well, just have a daily Scrum and figure it out with your team. Well, you may not have a skill set for that.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not the right skills methodology to bring to bear for a problem that needs to be solved. And just a recent example I've experienced recently, and that is a company was told they needed to use Agile Scrum. But if you look at what they need to do, they're really doing research and investigations. Software development is part of it, but applying Scrum to that problem set doesn't work very well. It ignores the big part of the work they need to do.
Now, if you get convinced that Scrum and Agile is the best thing for everything in the world, and you may disregard everything else, and then you may not realize that perhaps you have the wrong tool for the problem. You have a 9/16 wrench, and it's a metric bolt, and so you're not going to get anywhere.
Right.
So there's limitations to flawed thinking. People don't understand. I guess the first problem you have is just identifying that you have a problem. And what about the power of group? What have you written about that?
The power of what, John?
The power of groups. A group of empowered people to outperform.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, very interesting interview I had with David Marquet, who was a author of the book called Turn the Ship Around. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's was voted one of the top management leadership books to read. And David's story is that he was a submarine commander, and this happened about 10 years ago, and he ended up in command of a submarine that was at the absolute bottom of the fleet. The morale was so bad, and he found himself aboard the ship. He took it out to sea for the first time, and he gave an order, and he expected it to be carried out.
Well, that's a reasonable expectation.
Exactly. But he realized very quickly that they weren't doing anything. Everybody was saying, we're going to do it, but nothing changed. And he said he went crazy, and he turned out that it was impossible to carry out the order that he had asked them to do. And
I think I remember this book. Yeah, it's in many different management and sales, even marketing.
Right. Used this. Yeah. Absolutely.
And what happened?
So he was scared to death what that meant, taking a nuclear submarine to sea, telling people what to do, and they're just saying they're doing it and not really doing it, not talking back to him. So he started implementing a number of changes that he calls the leader-leader approach, and he made some changes in the way he talked to people, pushing leadership down further into command. And what happened over a course of a year is that this ship went from the bottom of the fleet to the top of the fleet, and this change was so stunning, word got back to, gosh, I can't think of his name, Stephen Covey. He heard about it, and he was so intrigued by it, he wanted to come aboard the submarine and see what it was actually like. And he came aboard, he went to sea with them, and his comment was, this is the most empowered group of people I've ever seen in government or industry. So there was something going on there.
One have to wonder, just given the isolation of a submarine crew, one would think they may have to figure out on themselves rather than be integrated with something else. And it's an interesting story. I never thought of something like that. And that can be adapted for software management, software development projects as well.
That's right. And the process approach that David Marquet took was that whenever anything would go wrong, he would ask two questions. He'd say, what was the process and who was the owner? And he said either one or both was missing. So they knew immediately what to address in the moment.
And it was a who.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the important part of the who, and that's how they integrate the people. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about process management and how you can take and look at the project you're managing now and maybe learn different ways and methods to take and accomplish things you didn't think were possible at all. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Bill Fox, Senior Consultant, Aegis.net. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Bill Fox, senior consultant with a company called Aegis.net, A-E-G-I-S.net. They work with a lot of different projects for the federal government. And what Bill has done, he's kind of a little subspecialty within the company, and he helps people who are listening like you manage projects better, improve the way they handle processes. And he has a separate website, and his website is called the numeral 5-Minute PiSuccess.com, and he interviews people who have successfully managed projects, and he's asked them simple questions, just let them explode, huh?
Exactly, John. Yeah. One simple question, what's your best improvement strategy that's worked really well for you?
So would you call us a blog or a website, or what would you call 5 Minutes PI Success?
It really is a blog. I publish the interviews as blog posts, and I also do other posts reflecting on them and other guest posts and that sort of thing as well.
And so it's a verbal interview. It's transcribed, and so there's a lot of verbs on, so you can lose all kinds of keywords, so you can do searches on the words for the interview. That's people do videos, they forget to put the word search in there, so you have the word search there.
Right, and I've also compiled the interviews into a book as well. At the end of last year, I published it on Amazon, and they can get on their Kindle if they want to read them electronically.
So what should they search for on Kindle or on Amazon? What's the search term?
5 minutes to process improvement success.
5 minutes to process improvement. Wow. Every interview bounced around different types of topics. Some talk about ISO 9000. Some people talk about CMMI. And I'm sure there are listeners that are scratching their head going, well, I heard this. Maybe Bill can explain this to me. So what exactly is the difference between CMMI and something like Agile and Kanban? And where do these all fit in for my listeners anyway?
If you take things like Agile, Scrum, those type of practices, they're generally collections of best practices that have been defined that people can follow and implement in their environment. Whereas CMMI is more of a model, and it's more of tells you what you need to do, not how you need to do it. So there's a little bit of difference there.
That's a pretty quick summary.
Exactly.
I've struggled with trying to sit on the dinner table. I try to tell my kids about flexible software development where you move and change. But that's really one is a collection of best practices and one is a specific model. I think CMMI originated in university. Is that right?
Yes, Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
And one thing that's certain with all these, John, is everyone seems to have a different understanding of what it is. There's a lot of confusion about what these methodologies and what is a model and what's the difference and even what is a process. In fact, recently I did an interview with one of the people, and his whole area of interest was what is a process and why is it so confusing? And he says that's the number one thing he sees most companies getting wrong is defining their process incorrectly. Process means different things to different people. It means different things in different industries. People come together and they see it as something different, and they generally make it too complex and don't define it in the right way, and that gets them off on the wrong foot right from the beginning.
So this has its origins actually in manufacturing, I would assume, where they're trying to efficiently manufacture items. And then late 80s, they take and transferred some of those principles to software development?
Yeah, that's part of it. You know, a lot of it comes from the chemical industry, different types of industries. People define process differently.
So, so what's the term K-A-N-B-N, Kanban?
Kanban, this is a term that it was more familiar in the manufacturing industry. It means sort of a pull type system where when something gets done, you use some type of card or flag, and that indicates that a next step in the piece of work should be done. It was implemented into the software knowledge work area by David Anderson, who came up with a way of how we could virtualize knowledge work and use that type of technique in for project management.
So making the leap from manufacturing physical items to software development, so that's where Lean kind of originated with Toyota and doing that, and Six Sigma originated with Motorola, and that's the transition we've seen. Is that right?
Well, we can see the parallels, but when I talked to David, I asked him, did he get the idea from manufacturing? And he really didn't. You know, he was aware of it, but he was really trying to come up with, he said his sole reason for developing Kanban, he realized a lot of people were resisting agile implementations because they had to do so many different things and do it by the book. And he wanted to come up with a way so people wouldn't have to deal with change.
So he's one of your 32 interviews?
Yes.
Oh, what's his name again?
David Anderson.
David Anderson. So never dawned on me. I should just go to your website and read the interview.
Exactly.
Why ask you, huh? And you ask him the basic open-ended question, what's your best process improvement strategy? And then you shut up, and he went on and on.
That's right. Yeah.
That's interesting. I would imagine that in if I'm in a shoe factory, I can put the heel on and the laces, and you put it in the box, get out the door. Okay. With software development, it's much more difficult to define it. I think what our listeners may have to do is just identify the process and then come up with a sequence, and then because it's more subtle, isn't it?
It is, and that's one of the secrets to being successful, I think, is identifying a basic workflow that makes sense.
So if I'm a federal IT professional, I'm listening to this interview at 2 o'clock in the morning in August, and I'm scratching my head going, well, why should I care about CMMI? If some consultant comes knocking on the door here and they go, hey, I'm John Gilroy, I understand CMMI, is that a value? Would that help my listeners?
There's a lot of good information there, John, and typically it shows up for most people because it's required. CMMI was created by the government because a lot of software projects were failing and they wanted to do something to help bring better process to the work that was being done for them. And so a lot of times it's required for a vendor to qualify to do work for the government.
So is CMMI part of ISO 9000 or is 9000, or how does it interact?
They're completely different.
So ISO 9000 is a guiding set of principles, and you can implement them any different way you'd like, and CMMI is just one way to implement them?
Well, ISO is an international standard. I'm not real familiar with ISO and how that works. I'm not an expert in that area, but it also, I really can't speak to it.
Yeah. I guess it's got something with quality management. The quality management principles are applied to software development. So when you get people like the Kanban expert and interview them, do they ever come up with surprising answers and something you'd never expected?
I think they do. In fact, if you look at all the interviews, talking with people who are top practitioners in Agile, Kanban, CMMI, et cetera, you name it. And if you look at what they're saying, the strategies they're coming up with don't start with the words Agile, Lean, Kanban, CMMI. They're saying something different. So I think that's very fascinating. These are the experts in these areas, but they're saying something different.
So if you're in a graduate program at Georgetown University or George Washington, you may be forced to learn in a management course, define Kanban, define this, define that. But the actual practitioners, they're not that limited or restricted.
Yeah, it's one of the tools in their bag of tricks. I mean, they tend to specialize in these areas. But the number one theme that has come out through all these interviews is the strategy of asking good questions. You know, what do these companies really want to accomplish it? Why do they want to accomplish it? Where do they want to get to? And then, you know, adapting and applying their tool set to what that company wants to do.
When I think of something like CMMI, I think of a consultant coming in, and there may be 10 different consultants with a different way to interpret CMMI. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so I imagine you've done interviews with people who have different interpretations of this type of process management.
Yes, that's very true.
With this, I think David Page, is that the one I think? No, Brad Power, is he the one?
Brad Power.
Yeah, it was the most recent interview. Hmm?
It was a very recent one, yes.
And what's Brad Power's background?
He's been working in the lean and process improvement industry for, I think, 20-some years.
And, wow.
Yeah.
So if you are being encouraged to use agile software development and encountering some bumps in the road, it may behoove you to read some of these interviews. I never thought that Anderson was the guy who came with Kanban, so they can go to your site and read about the Kanban guy, what he had to say, and why he came up with it.
Absolutely. And you'll see if you follow any of these, I tweet about these interviews a lot, and a lot of times people will tweet out there, this is the best interview I've ever seen on Kanban or Agile or, you know, how to get started. And these top practitioners will tell their readers to go read that interview as a first step, that type of thing.
I have a blog too. You can find my blog by going to Google and type in John Gilroy blog, and my blog pops up there. I'll be blogging about this interview and tweeting about it and doing LinkedIn status updates and everything else. I didn't realize that some of the people, because I'm not familiar with the names in the industry you're in, I didn't realize there's some really big game changers here. The guy, Marquette, is that the name?
Yes.
The submarine captain. He's a game changer in the world of sales and marketing. And this guy Anderson, game changer in the world of agile software development. So it's almost like interviewing Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington in the world of agile software development.
I'm sure they'll be glad to hear you put them in that camp. But, these are the top people in the industry.
Yeah. Well, I think even one of those guys, Ben Franklin, had a few weaknesses in his, 70 or 80 years. He lived a very long time. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about your personal technology profile, find out if you're a card-carrying nerd or not. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Bill Fox, senior consultant for a company called Aegis.net. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Bill Fox today. He's a senior consultant with a company called Aegis, AEGIS.net. They work with a wide range of federal agencies to help them with project management, all kinds of different projects. Bill kind of got frustrated with some projects he saw failing, and he came up with a website that helps listeners figure out what best practices are for process management. And what's the website name again?
It's 5 minutes, PI Success, John. Start with the number 5.
Great. And a lot of my listeners are Twitter enthusiasts. You know, in Spain, they call them Twitteros, Twitter followers. And my Twitter handle is at Ray Gilroy. What's your Twitter handle?
It's Bill Fox, but substitute ones for the L's.
So it's B-I-1-1 Fox.
Exactly.
So you got over 1,000 people following you, huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, you're a regular Lady Gaga.
Far from that.
He's the Lady Gaga of process management. Put that on your business card. Hi, I'm Bill Fox, Gaga of process management. You also do events in town here. Tell me about any events coming up that we should be interested in.
Sure, John. One thing I do every 4 to 6 weeks is I call it a 5PI meetup. I get a lot of people reaching out to me or interested in what's going on. So I came up with the idea to start pulling those people together. And I'll generally bring in one of the people I've interviewed and we'll just have a roundtable discussion about what they do.
And listeners should know that a meetup is a formal, informal grouping of people. A lot of times it's only 10 days out. They'll say, hey, next week we're going to get together and talk about SharePoint and get together. And you may say, let's get together and talk about process management.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And the DC Spin meeting that meets every month on February 6th, I'm going to be giving a presentation talking about 5 minutes to process improvement success, what I've learned, and what I've been publishing about it.
DC Spin, I thought they'd be like public relations professionals.
It stands for Software Process Improvement Network.
To me, it sounds like the Capitol Hill, spin doctors up there. DC Spin.
We try and stay away from that.
Yeah. And so there's another a workshop coming up for my listeners. It's with a person named Hillel Glazer. Is that right?
Right. We do workshops around, is Agile the right solution for your organization? Mm-hmm. And we take a look at how the organizations really work and is it a good fit for them?
Many of my listeners regularly listen to me, and they know that at the end of the show, I always have people take my nerdology test to see if you're a card-carrying nerd. And it kind of brings things down into focus and find out. So I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and then we're going to put you into the UNIVAC computer and print out something in Green Bar and mail it to you with your rating. Okay, what was the year you bought your first computer?
It was the Macintosh, 1984.
That was the TV commercial you didn't announce. That was an incredible one. Year your first cell phone?
Car phone in 1997.
That's weak. And what's your Twitter feed?
It's Bill Fox, substitute ones for the L's.
Okay. And your blog, you have two of those, huh?
Yeah, the 5 minutes PI success. And I have another one called foxhighperspective.com/blog.
So you got two blogs. Well, you made up for the weak entry in the cell phone. Do you use online personal backup at all?
I do. I use a mix of things, the Dropbox, the iCloud, Google Drive.
Mm. A lot of security professionals don't like those answers. Mm. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
It's an Apple iPhone.
Okay. Not trending with teens anymore. Apple's not trending with teens.
That's what I hear.
Number of apps on your smartphone?
I don't have too many, John. I have about a dozen I rely on.
Okay. And what kind of tablet device do you have?
I use the iPad.
Okay. Social networking sites you participate in?
I'm a big user of LinkedIn and Facebook as well.
Okay. Bill Fox, common name, I guess. A lot of folks on there with Bill Fox.
There are.
Easy for me to pronounce, though. That's the good news.
Hard to find me, though.
Yeah. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
It was electronic.
Electronic. Well, you slowly moved up. I'll have to put these results in, and I'll publish to the known world your ranking on the 1 to 10, whether you're a nerd or not. And I'm sure a lot of people are interested in that, aren't they? You know, they do some sports radio in the studio, and they always had this crystal ball for many years. They had the Magic 8 Ball, and so I used to take it and hand it to my guests. And I'm going to hand you the Magic 8 Ball right now and tell you. So 5-6 years from now, no one could have predicted smartphones, mobile devices. Intel stopped manufacturing chips for desktop computers. I mean, who could have predicted that 5 years ago? So what's going to happen 5 years from now with this whole world of agile software development process improvement, Bill?
Well, John, I think people are going to really start taking a more thoughtful and conscious approach to it. We need to improve our organizations. We need the results, and people have seen the failures too many times. And the story information I'm coming out with is resonating with people. I can see it building and growing. I'm seeing it coming from other people as well, and I'm seeing some consensus around it to do something different.
Yeah, if you have, 1,800 followers on Twitter, they're trying to find out an answer, a clue, give me a hint of how to, because we're living in this world of drastic change, and there's no one, I was telling my son last night, no one's got 20 years experience in Twitter. No one's got it. I mean, everyone is kind of trying to figure it out, and everyone's claiming to be an expert and not an expert, but I think this approach of asking open-ended questions and trying to pivot from there is a good way to kind of wind up with achieving success in project management.
Yeah.
From the federal perspective, do you see any differences that federal project managers should have that maybe a commercial project manager shouldn't? Any differences there, you think?
I think a big difference is that it's hard for people in the federal government to change all the entire environment they may need to interact with. In a commercial environment, it's more contained. In federal government, things are fixed on the edges. It can be hard to change and fit in.
One of your interviews is with a guy named Brad Power, and he talks about process improvement is a multi-year cultural change.
Whew. Right.
No snap of finger, Bill? Can't do that? Can't lose 20 pounds tomorrow?
I don't think so. It's hard work, and it needs to occur over a long period of time.
So is Agile going to fade away, or is everyone going to be Agile, or this waterfall method is just going to be reserved for the history books, or what's going to happen to Agile in the next few years?
You know, it's growing in popularity. There's a lot of attention on it right now. The government is suggesting a lot of people move in that direction. Some people are getting results. A lot of people are not getting results. And I liken it to there are people over there jumping off a cliff, and you're hearing they're being very successful, but you're not seeing what they did before they jumped. You're not seeing what happened when they landed and, what they did to have a good landing. And we're seeing a lot of that going on right now. You know, these Agile practices are good. CMI is good. They're all good. And I think we need to take a more considered approach of what we really need to accomplish. And we really need to get people engaged. That's the real key. And these people can pull from all these methodologies and models as needed for as appropriate.
Should a manager adapt a methodology based on his team?
Absolutely. I think so.
And so if your boss tells you it has to be an Agile approach and you look at your project and your team, maybe it's not a good fit. Now, that may be difficult for your boss to understand.
Exactly.
But I would imagine that if your performance is based on a successful 2-year implementation of moving to the cloud or managing mobile devices, I would think that your personal success is more wrapped up in the successful project, not necessarily the tool that you use.
Right.
I've heard about big software failures in the federal government. We can name agencies. We all know the classic ones. And some of them have said, well, what we did is we switched from waterfall to Agile, and we succeeded. I don't know if it's all that simple. It doesn't seem like we know the agency I'm talking about here, and I don't want to, you know, beat anyone up over the head. Yeah. But we know that, and maybe it's just coincidence, or maybe it is that effectual.
Yeah, there are people having great results with it, but there are a lot of people saying they have results, and you investigate a little further, and it's not quite what it's
maybe the
promoted to be.
The DC spin, maybe the spin doctors are approaching software development, saying, "Well, it's agile, it's new, it's got to be better."
Not the case.
It's much more subtle nuance than I thought. I thought you'd be pounding on the table going, everyone should do this way because this is the best and no one else should CMMI and we're experts in CMMI and if you don't do it, you're going to fail miserably. Well, that's not the answer.
I don't think it is. Yeah. And that's the point I make in my Cutter IT article that was published, that what we're really looking for is engaged workers that are performing, you know, and these tools help, but it's not the answer.
It goes back to your guy in the submarine.
Right.
He looked at the problem he had. He looked at his team, and he said, well, there's all kinds of abstract principles that can be applied, but is there some way I can engage them in the process of improvement? Then you get results that way. Difficult to pull off.
It is.
Yeah. And so if you want to learn more about process improvement, you can go to the numeral 5 minutes, PISuccess.com, and read these interviews. I'm going to go and read the Marquette interview and see what he has to say, and the Anderson interview. I never realized he's a Kanban guy, but I say that the names didn't make any sense because there's no trademark on that specific term, is there? And there's no trademark on a lot of these terms.
So right.
It's hard to really define. It's kind of intentionally fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for your time today, Bill.
Well, thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today in the studio, Bill Fox, Senior Consultant for Aegis.net. We talked about process improvement.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.